This is Cecilia Kacik, the former state senator who represented Greene County. You are listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we will hear the Hudson Valley Congressional Report about what Representatives Delgado, Maloney, Tonko, and Stefanik have been up to and what the candidates who want to replace them in the November election have to say. We will also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate and radio news about the FCC possibly regulating radio receivers. It all starts after the local news, which is next. Stay tuned to the WGXC Morning Show.
In air waves controlled, on air, in air channel connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through, and the moon turns to blood. This is the network, network, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through, and the moon turns to blood. This is the network, network,
this is the news.
Turns to blood.
This is the network.
The Alan DeVoe Bird Club will lead participants on a bird walk through the Art O' My Sculpture and Architecture Park on Saturday, April 30th from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. You might spot a green heron during the walk through 200 acres of hedgerow, woodland, grassland, and pond habitat on the Art O' My grounds in Ghent in Columbia County. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for more information about this event and many others. You can even add your own event there at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Food New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Melanie Lekosovic is reporting for Capital Region Independent Media that tolls on the Rip Van Winkle Bridge are set to increase on May 1st. The toll hike will impact all five of the bridges under the jurisdiction of the New York State Bridge Authority, including the Rip Van Winkle, Bear Mountain, Newburgh Beacon, Mid-Hudson, and Kingston-Rhinecliff bridges. The toll charge for drivers with E-Z-Pass tags will be less than for those without a tag, who are billed by mail. Cars, pickup trucks, and motorcycles with an E-Z-Pass tag will pay $1.55, up 10 cents from the current rate of $1.45. Those billed by mail will pay $2, up a quarter from the existing $1.75 rate. Commercial vehicles will pay more as well. Only drivers traveling east on the bridges are charged a toll. Quote, as part of a four-year phased-in toll revision that started in 2020, rates will be increasing on May 1, 2022, and for a final time on May 1, 2023, unquote, according to the New York State Bridge Authority. The present rates have been in effect since May 1, 2021. The Rip Van Winkle Bridge is a 5,041-foot span that first opened July 2, 1935, and connects Greene and Columbia counties. Read more about this story at theupstater.com.
Jonah E. Bromwich, Ben Protas, and William K. Rashbaum report in the New York Times that a judge ruled April 25th that former President Donald Trump is in contempt of court and must pay $10,000 a day until he complies with the subpoena seeking financial documents. Trump's lawyers claim they have turned everything over already, while lawyers from New York's Attorney General's office said that Mr. Trump had declined to turn over documents in response to 8 separate requests. Alina Haba, one of Trump's lawyers, said she will file a sworn statement detailing every step that was taken to locate potential documents and that she will appeal the ruling. Haba said, and I quote, all documents responsive to the subpoena were produced to the Attorney General months ago. This does not even come close to meeting the standard on a motion for contempt, end quote. The judge, Arthur F. Engoron, called Haba's legal arguments that all materials had been turned over, and I quote, woefully insufficient, end quote, and quote, boilerplate, end quote. In January, the Attorney General's office concluded that the Trump Organization had engaged in, and I quote, fraudulent and misleading, end quote, financial practices in New York. Read more about this story in the New York Times.
Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that voters in the Coxsackie Athens School District will be asked May 17th to approve a proposed $34.7 million budget for the 2022-2023 school year. The school board adopted the proposal at its April 12th meeting. The spending plan represents an increase of just under $712,000, or 2.09%, over the current year's budget. The tax levy will increase 2.92% in the coming year. Board of Education President Michael Donahue said Ryan Palmer, the district's administrator of business and finance, crafted the budget with input from the administration, with the school board also launching its own budget committee to help shape the plan. The proposed budget includes funding for the addition of 5 paraprofessionals, a full-time counselor, a seasonal groundskeeper, a full-time teacher for grades 7 through 12, and a full-time fitness room coordinator. The school board president said he hopes the community will support the spending plan when they go to the polls next month. Quote, it's been a positive experience, and I hope that the folks that vote agree with us and pass it, and we can go ahead, unquote, Donahue said. Quote, we're adding people, and there have been some years where you're not in that position, and you're looking at where to cut. That's really tough to look at that, but we're not in that position, unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Joshua Solomon reports for the Times Union that the state legislature returned April 25th from a 2-week holiday break with only 19 days left in its session. Governor Kathy Hochul said that affordable housing, mayoral control of city schools in New York City, and the Clean Slate Act should be at the top of their agenda. The Clean Slate Act would expunge certain criminal records to help former inmates get employment. The Hudson Valley and much of the state are struggling with an affordable housing crisis, with sky-high prices and demand forcing long residents out of their apartments. This week, 537 bills will go before committees, including proposed laws related to the environment, elections, cryptocurrency, and evictions. The Clean Slate is hung up on Hochul's request for more years to elapse after time served before an individual could have their record expunged for certain crimes. State Senator Zelno Myrie of Brooklyn, who sponsored the bill, said, and I quote, "I found that to be unacceptable," end quote. But he said he is, and I quote, "cautiously optimistic that we will get this across the finish line," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that the top concerns of most New York voters are crime and the economy. From government spending to taxes, inflation, and honesty in government, a Siena College poll released April 25th found. Poll respondents were supportive of the changes made by lawmakers and the governor to the state bail law that expanded the circumstances under which cash bail will be required. While voters backed those changes, they were mixed on whether the changes would help reduce crime. Voters also gave Governor Kathy Hochul low marks on various issues, including her pledge to restore trust in government and provide effective leadership, while also rejecting her push for state funding for a new stadium for the Buffalo Bills. Respondents support the suspension of the gasoline tax by a margin of 73% to 16%. They are also supportive of takeout alcohol sales, 50% to 38%. And the poll found support for a $4.2 billion bond act for shoring up environmental infrastructure, 52% to 24%. But 63% of voters opposed spending $600 million in state taxpayer money to build a new stadium for the Buffalo Bills in western New York. Only 24% support it. Hochul's own favorability rating has not changed since March. 44% of voters hold a favorable view of her. 34% do not. And she remains better known than her rivals in the gubernatorial race. A survey of 806 registered voters was conducted from April 18th to 21st. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
The New York State Department of Environmental Conservation announced the opening of the Hudson Valley segment of the New York State Birding Trail April 21st, with 39 locations on public lands throughout six counties. DEC Commissioner Basil Sago said, and I quote, "Spring is a fantastic time of year to visit one of the many sites on the newest segment of the New York State Birding Trail. The Hudson Valley region, with its stunning and historic parks and public lands, unique hawk watches, and sweeping Hudson River views, provides a unique and special birding experience for anyone interested in getting started in this fun, accessible activity," end quote. Locally, these sites are part of the trail: Olana State Historic Site, Claremont State Historic Site, Lake Taconic State Park, Stockport Wildlife Management Area, and the Taconic State Park's Harlem Valley Rail Trail, all in Columbia County, and the Tivoli Bays Wildlife Management Area in Dutchess County. Scott Silva, director of the National Audubon Society's Constitution Marsh Audubon Center and Sanctuary based in Garrison, said, and I quote, "From mountain forests to marshes and rivers, the Hudson Valley boasts an incredible variety of habitat that is critical to the health of birds and people. Nearly 200 species of both migratory and non-migratory birds have been identified in our 270-acre marsh alone. Audubon and our affiliated chapters are thrilled to welcome visitors to this newest segment of the New York State Birding Trail, where you can paddle in amidst waterfowl and hike out to the tune of songbirds," end quote.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXE weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, a chance of showers. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 61 degrees. Tuesday night, a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 41 degrees. And on Wednesday, a slight chance of showers after 2 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 50 degrees. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 35 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Mm-hmm.
On Tuesday, April 26, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM, including at 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show. Tune into the Hudson Valley Congressional Report with all sorts of news about the folks who represent the Hudson Valley in Congress and the candidates who want to replace them in November. At 10 a.m., it's time for Corey McClaskin's Forgotten Geek Show from Catskill. At 11 a.m., it's the Early Electro Mix Show. And at noon on Overlooked, live from Ulster County, Rob Saffer has a Charles Mingus special. At 2 p.m., we hear another special for Spike Jones, the American musician and bandleader most known from his work in the 1940s. Then Julia Lochtuff is the artist featured at 3 p.m. on the Radio Art Hour. Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda tunes in the latest movies with Amanda Lees and Jenny Getty at 7 p.m. live from Rhinebeck and Athens. And then live from Hudson at 8 p.m., Michael Wild welcomes back Andrew Krivine, collector and expert on punk rock and the author of Reversing Into the Future, New Wave Graphics, 1977 to 1990. 10 p.m., Dan Seward is live from Columbia County with the Battlefield Earth Show on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
This summer, the Athens Cultural Center presents movies in Athens Riverfront Park every second Saturday of the month, beginning around 8:30 p.m. On May 14th, they'll show Harold and Maude from 1971. June 11th, they'll show Athens resident Lisa Thomas's movie Thirsty from 2016. July 9th, they'll show A Trip to the Moon, the 1902 movie. August 13th, they'll show Summer of Soul, the Oscar-winning film from last year. And September 10th, they will display I Dream Too Much from 2015. That's the Athens Cultural Center's summer movie series in Athens Riverfront Park. You can find out more about these film showings on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather from your solar-powered radio station. National Weather Service in Albany predicts there is a 60% chance of showers Tuesday, mainly between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. With cloudy skies, a high of 56 and a light and variable wind. Tuesday night, again, there's a 20% chance of showers before 10 p.m. Mostly cloudy skies are forecast with a low around 39 and a northwest wind 3 to 8 miles per hour. Wednesday, there's a 20% chance of rain in the morning. Then it becomes partly sunny for your solar panels, with a high near 44 and a northwest wind 7 to 10 miles per hour with gusts as high as 21 miles per hour spinning the local windmills. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy is the forecast with a low around 31 and a northwest wind around 11 miles per hour with gusts again as high as 23 miles per hour. Then Thursday, it's mostly sunny with a high of 47 and a low around 31. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered community radio for open ears.
Welcome to the video rental store in your mind.
Looking for something to watch, but feeling overwhelmed by all the options?
Feeling unsatisfied with all the boring, restrictive categories like romance and drama or horror?
Tune in to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda every second and fourth Tuesday at 7 p.m. and get turned on to movie genres like eco-horror,
unsettling kids' movies,
alien boyfriends,
creepy therapy.
Start listening so you can start watching today.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Sabisha Friedberg of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
The Alan DeVoe Bird Club will lead participants on a bird walk through the Art O' My Sculpture and Architecture Park on Saturday, April 30th from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. You might spot a green heron during the walk through 200 acres of hedgerow, woodland, grassland, and pond habitat on the Art O' My grounds in Ghent in Columbia County. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org for more information about this event and many others. You can even add your own event there at wgxc.org in the community calendar.
Right in the yellow. And then I'm just, there's good news. Right in the yellow. Good evening.
Every verse ends in a rim. Only problem we had was writing enough words. But that's okay, because the chorus is coming up again now. Please play this song on the radio. Please play this song on the radio.
I'm Tom Rowe with Wave Farm and today's Daily Radio News. Do you remember a few months ago, the airline industry was up in arms about 5G cell phone service? The Brookings Institution had a headline in November saying, quote, "Will 5G mean airplanes falling from the sky?" Unquote. The Federal Aviation Administration objected to the Federal Communications Commission's authorization of 5G networks on planes. Their concern was that the 5G radio signals would interfere with the radio altimeters used in automated aircraft landings. The airline industry also mimicked the broadcast industry, who have been saying for years that pirate radio stations would bring down planes by interfering with the radio reception in the controls. Anyone who listened to the radio might have been justified in scoffing at this argument, since there has never been a proven case of a pirate radio station bringing down an aircraft, nor did the expansion of 5G cell service onto planes in the United States this year cause any accidents. But with more study, there might be something to this argument. It turns out that airplanes have been using really bad radio receivers. Poorly designed receivers were meant for an age before 5G, as the altimeters on some passenger planes failed to filter out signals from nearby spectrum, Politico reports. And there are poor radio receivers in all types of equipment in many industries, not just on planes. As new technologies such as driverless cars and telemedicine use additional bandwidth, the old-timey radio receivers and the new technology can't cope. As a result, quote, large amounts of valuable spectrum lie fallow, spectrum reallocations are contentious, and users of spectrum lack legal certainty, unquote, the Office of Republican FCC Commissioner Nathan Symington said in a statement. His Democratic colleague, Jessica Rosenworkel, the FCC chair, agrees. Quote, if we want to be efficient, we also have to think about the other end. We have to think about receiving, unquote. Last week, the FCC commissioners voted unanimously to open an inquiry into the issue. They might embrace voluntary receiver standards to get companies to upgrade their gear, or they could impose more controversial regulatory mandates. About 20 years ago, the commission explored, but decided against, setting standards for all sorts of radio receivers to withstand interference from cell phone signals. Of course, the industry's business sides do not want any regulations. Some corporations are now saying the FCC does not have the authority to regulate receivers. David Grossman, Vice President of Regulatory Affairs at the Consumer Technology Association, says, quote, "Congress has not ever explicitly outlined FCC authority around regulation of receivers," unquote. The FAA, after the 5G implementation, is now also considering developing new standards for radio altimeters, according to then-Administrator Steve Dixon at a House of Representatives hearing in February. Quote, "At some point you just get more and more and more people and more and more and more services in this spectrum. You just can't do it," unquote, said former FCC official Dale Hatfield, who is now executive fellow at the Silicon Flatiron Center at the University of Colorado at Boulder. Quote, "You've got to begin to take up on receivers. It's inevitable," unquote. I'm Tom Rowe at Wavefarm. You can go to wavefarm.org for more information about this story and other radio news.
That's a 2022 song from the band Glove called Radio Out on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Migrant families flee from their countries, flee from the harsh conditions, and embark in a life-threatening journey.
The Supreme Court hears oral arguments today on the future of the Trump-era Remain in Mexico policy, which Marco Castillo with immigration advocacy organization Global Exchange says violated human rights. President Joe Biden reversed the 2019 policy, which forced people seeking asylum to await their court dates in Mexico, but lower courts reinstated it. Gene Hamilton, a Homeland Security official during the Trump administration, claims the policy is humanitarian.
Eliminating that program created a huge magnet, a huge pull factor for smugglers to be able to start targeting the populations for whom the administration has the most difficulty removing, and that's people who come with children.
Meanwhile, Title 42 will remain in place for now. A federal judge granted a temporary motion to prevent the White House from carrying out its planned May 23rd end of the emergency COVID-related border restriction, which allowed officials to quickly expel migrants. Following a meeting with Ukraine's president in Kiev, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said he believes Russia is failing in its incursion.
We want to see Russia weakened to the degree that it can't do the kinds of things that it has done in invading Ukraine. So it has already lost a lot of military capability and a lot of its troops, quite frankly.
The U.S. is preparing more than $322 million in foreign military financing to help Ukraine purchase weapons directly from manufacturers. A bipartisan group of lawmakers reforming the 135-year-old Electoral Count Act meets today. Maine Senator Susan Collins says they've made progress, including codifying the vice president's role in electoral vote counting. Democrats want to include Voting Rights Act provisions, which Collins worries could kill the bill. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis approved the creation of a new standalone election police force. It comes after a flurry of voting restriction laws passed in red states following false claims the 2020 presidential election was stolen. Twitter says it's accepted Elon Musk's $44 billion offer to take the company private. The Tesla CEO says he wants to bolster free speech on the platform. At the White House, Press Secretary Jen Psaki did not comment directly on the news, but indicated Twitter could face regulatory action in the future.
There are also reforms that we think Congress could take, and we would support taking, including reforming Section 230, enacting antitrust reforms, requiring more transparency.
And former President Donald Trump was held in contempt of court over a New York investigation into his business dealings. Trump must pay $10,000 a day until he complies, providing requested financial documents. His attorney argued all relevant documents were already submitted. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Thank you.
2020 new music from Akuzmi with Fleeting Future from their 2022 album Fleeting Future on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Fatima El Khadiri on the radio at WGXC with Witchcraft from the 2022 album La Abuela on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Here is this week's Hudson Valley Congressional Report from WGXC from Philip Grant and myself, Tom Rowe, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives of the Hudson Valley in Congress and the candidates who want to replace them. Current Democrat Representatives Antonio Delgado, Paul Tonko, and Sean Maloney vote with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website. Republican Elise Stefanik voted with Biden's positions 18% of the time.
Two political prognosticators moved the re-election of Democrat Antonio Delgado to the 19th congressional district from likely Democrat to leans Democrat on April 20th. Both Larry Sabato's Crystal Ball and the Cook Political Report downgraded Delgado's chances of beating Republican Mark Molinaro, currently the Dutchess County executive, in November's election. Both analysts said the move was because of a national wave moving towards Republicans and not about the specifics of the Delgado-Molinaro campaigns. Sabato's Crystal Ball website said about the five Democrats that were moving from likely winners to leaning toward predicting a win, and I quote, in a Republican wave scenario, these are the kinds of districts that could get swept up. Republicans appear to have credible recruits in these districts that are raising enough money to be competitive, end quote. Republican National Congressional Committee spokesperson Samantha Bullock crowed about the political predictions. She said, and I quote, everyone can see the writing on the wall, and this will be Antonio Delgado's last term in Congress, end quote. Mid-Hudson News reports that Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro delivered his 2022 State of the County Address on April 20th in Pine Plains, with eyes from throughout New York's 19th Congressional District looking in. Molinaro spoke about a Dutchess County future he hopes not to be a part of, as he is currently the Republican candidate for Congress, hoping to replace Democrat Antonio Delgado. Molinaro said, and I quote, "Today we are poised for more growth and prosperity because of our decade-long commitment to smart, fiscally conservative, and compassionate government. To continue along this path, we must redouble our efforts to keep Dutchess County safe and affordable, creating opportunities and optimism for every county resident," end quote. He spoke about expanding mental health services, tackling the opioid crisis, funding first responders, and housing needs in the community. Molinaro previously backed off his plan to give $12.5 million in taxpayer money for a minor league baseball stadium, switching $9.5 million of the stadium money for housing needs. Molinaro plans three public forums to give residents a chance to address the needs of the community. The first is at 12:30 p.m. May 3rd at the Office for the Aging, Tri-Town Senior Friendship Center in Pleasant Valley. The second is at 5:30 p.m. May 10th at the Red Hook Community Center. And the last is at 5:30 p.m. May 17th at the American Legion Post 427 in Wappingers Falls. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. Michelle Del Rey reports in the Times Union that Republican candidate Liz Joy raised $146,575 from individuals during the first quarter, while incumbent Democrat Paul Tonko raised just $84,637. Since the beginning of 2021, Joy has raised $457,185 in individual donations, while Tonko raised $409,110. A statement provided by Joy's campaign read, and I quote, "Our campaign continues to beat expectations and raise more money each quarter. We outraised Tonko again in individual contributions for the third quarter in a row, which shows the level of support we have from people who live and work in the 20th district," end quote. The Republican Joy lost to the Democrat Tonko by a 62% to 38% margin. Redistricting has made the district slightly better for a Republican, but it is still considered a safe seat for Democrats. Tonko's campaign did not comment for the story. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union.
Inside Radio reports that in the federal budget just passed by Congress, with votes four locally from Democrats Antonio Delgado, Paul Tonko, and Sean Maloney, and a no vote from Republican Elise Stefanik, that includes $16 million extra this year for the Federal Communications Commission. That's a 4.3% increase from the current year's $374 million FCC budget. The plan is to hire 15 full-time new employees to address pirate radio enforcement, mainly because of a 2020 law passed by Congress that raised potential pirate radio fines to $2 million. That bill, sponsored by Paul Tonko, was criticized at the time for ridiculous cartoon fines with no backing, as Congress had repeatedly defunded the FCC's Enforcement Bureau. Tonko received $7,000 during the 2016 campaign from the National Association of Broadcasters, who support larger fines for pirate radio operators. There has not been a major report of any pirate radio stations in the Hudson Valley in many years. President Joe Biden asked for an increase of $5 million for the Enforcement Bureau to hire the 15 new employees in the new budget.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Chocolate pigs.
I turned it down.
Only dogs can hear.
Burn his.
I turned it down. Do it.
Did you hear that?
No.
This is Tom Rowe with Wave Farm with the WGXC Radio News, daily update on what's going on in broadcast news. Adi Robertson reports for The Verge that the Russian invasion of Ukraine has been fought with tanks, planes, ships, and humans, and also with radio waves. It's a battle of information over the internet, television, and radio. And while the U.S. has banned selling almost anything to Russia, a few radio-related products are now allowed for export to Russia to help in the information war. The U.S. Department of the Treasury is exempting telecommunications services from the sanctions against Russia. Advocacy groups for anti-war protesters inside Russia predicted that blocking internet services would cut off Russian activists' access to the outside world. So the Department of the Treasury is allowing, quote, services, software, hardware, or technology incident to the exchange of communications over the internet, such as instant messaging, video conferencing, chat and email, social networking, sharing of photos, movies and documents, web browsing, blogging, web hosting, and domain name registration services, unquote. Access Now, one of the groups advocating for Russian activists, applauded the decision. Quote, U.S. internet communication technologies are key for human rights defenders and independent media to report on and fight Russian and Belarusian government's aggression in Ukraine, unquote, said the group's tech legal counsel, Natalia Krapvia. Internet backbone providers Lumen and Cogent and MailChimp operator Intuit ended their service in Russia before the sanctions were approved. Slack only blocked the access from Russia after the sanctions hit. The Ukraine government has asked for more than it has gotten so far. Ukraine wanted DNS overseer ICANN to revoke Russia's access to the domain name system, but was turned down. ICANN said a revocation, blocking Russia from the rest of the world, could have, quote, devastating and permanent effects on the trust and utility of this global system, unquote. The Russian government has not been acting in kind, as they have been blocking major global services such as Facebook and Instagram in a wide-ranging crackdown on free speech of any kind. Read more about this story at The Verge. Ella Curris reports for Radio World that the Communications Infrastructure Contractors Association, which is the union for broadcast tower climbers, and Storybuilt Media are releasing a feature-length documentary called Vertical Freedom about six communications infrastructure workers in the United States. Kai Nguyen is featured in the film and said he had no experience before joining the industry. Quote, I started as a climber and then just kept working my way up, unquote, he said. Quote, then I became foreman and began project managing. I'm one of those types of guys where if you want it done a certain way, you have to be with them, showing them, leading by example. So I'm climbing every day, unquote. In 2012, a PBS Frontline documentary called Cell Tower Deaths reported that in the previous decade, nearly 100 climbers were killed on radio, TV, and cell towers, a rate that is about 10 times the average for construction workers. The latest death was in December of Michael Vasquez, working for Broken Arrow Communications, where he fell from a communications tower in Arlington, Washington. This industry documentary does not focus on those deaths and accidents, but hints at the issue. Quote, the turnover rate is pretty crazy because not everyone can do it, unquote, Nguyen said in Vertical Freedom. Quote, it takes a special type of crazy, a certain type of person, to want to be up that high working and traveling on the road. You know, you sacrifice not being home, unquote. Business Insider predicts bad solar weather this week after a solar flare knocked out radio signals in parts of Asia and Australia. The U.S. Space Weather Prediction Center reported the solar flare peaked on April 17th, followed minutes later by a massive sun eruption known as a coronal mass ejection, Space.com reported. Quote, a pulse of X-rays from the flare produced a strong shortwave radio blackout over Southeast Asia and Australia, unquote, said NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory, which recorded the X1-class solar flare, the strongest type of storm on the sun. Quote, mariners, aviators, and ham radio operators may have noticed unusual propagation effects at frequencies below 30 megahertz, unquote. The good news is that the coronal mass ejection's trajectory will miss Earth, passing behind our planet in its orbit around the sun, spaceweather.com reported. Powerful solar storms can alter the Earth's northern lights displays and wreak havoc on satellites and astronauts in orbit, as well as radio transmissions. The sun is currently in an increasingly active phase of its 11-year solar weather cycle. Common internet tracking technology using radio waves is proving in real time that Russian soldiers are stealing phones, AirPods, and farm equipment from Ukrainians during their invasion of the European country. Forbes reports, for instance, that an advisor to the Belarusian Democratic Movement said, quote, Ukrainians are locating their devices on the territory of the Homiel region, Belarus, where part of the Russian army retreated, unquote. For iPhones, the Find My app connects with hundreds of millions of Apple devices to create a shadow network, enabling a lost or stolen phone to connect to other devices via Bluetooth and then report its location back to its owner. Ukrainians who left their homes are now posting on social media accounts maps that show their iPhones or AirPods are now in Belarus or Russia. The New York Post reported that Vadimi Semenets of Hostomel, about 17 miles northwest of Kyiv, had his AirPods stolen near the beginning of the war and has watched online as they move around the region. Quote, thanks to technology, I know where my AirPods are now, unquote, he wrote online. David Shepardson reports for Yahoo Finance that the Federal Communications Commission voted April 21st 4-0 to fine London-based TruePhone Limited, the owner of Montana-based iSmart mobile phone company, $660,639 for exceeding statutory limits for foreign ownership. The fine comes, FCC Chair Jessica Rosenwinkel says, because the commission, quote, launched an internal assessment of Russian ownership of telecommunications interests in the United States, unquote, after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The FCC now says, quote, it appears that TruePhone's failure to report truthful and accurate ownership information was egregious. As a result of TruePhone's failure, control of a U.S. common carrier passed to an unvetted foreign entity and associated individuals for more than 7 years, unquote. FCC Commissioner Jeffrey Stark says the company has been indirectly owned by, quote, a small group of Russian oligarchs since at least 2011. With the importance of the Internet and the shifting national security environment facing our nation, protecting our communications networks has never been more critical, unquote. Radio Sputnik, created by the Russian government's propaganda department, is airing programming on 5 a.m. and FM stations in the United States right now. On March 15th, a new FCC rule went into effect, forcing U.S. broadcasters to disclose any programming provided by foreign governmental entities. This has been Radio News. Go to wavefarm.org for more information.